You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 77 of Ravens Weekly. Huge thank you to GPM Group for their sponsorship of the podcast and for their kind support. It's a hello to James and Jeff. How are we doing, gents?
All good, Matt. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Hi, Matt. Everyone, hello.
Okay, and first off today, bit of an unconventional intro, that one. First off today, we're going to discuss the recent chairman's update from last week. We're going to touch on, obviously, the response that we've had, Jeff, to the season ticket sort of message that was sent out by the chairman.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. It's been, as you would expect, really, an absolutely fantastic response from everyone involved. I know the statement went out, was it last Thursday, last Friday? And obviously we spent time over the weekend just compiling everything, making sure we had all the details correct. And on Monday, the actual official email, as it were, went out to season ticket holders. And we started making phone calls to those who weren't on the mailing list. And we've just been inundated with replies as a week's gone on. It's been fantastic to see the amount of emails coming back and people donating their money back to the club. So can't thank everyone enough for their support during this period. And apologies if you've not had an email back from me yet to confirm and acknowledge your email. I am slowly working through them. Obviously, there's absolutely hundreds and hundreds of them. So you will get an email hopefully by Monday. Confirming receipt of your wish with regards to how you'd like, whether you'd like your refund or not. So again, a massive thank you to everyone on that note. And I know we're working on a spreadsheet as well to work out all the exact amounts of everything that's been donated back to the club. So hopefully on Monday we can celebrate and share with supporters so far just how much has been donated back to the club. Because I know I'm sure it's going to be an absolutely massive figures, I'm sure at least a five-figure amount, which, given the current climate and given the uncertain times you're still remaining, is an absolutely fantastic gesture. And again, I can't thank everyone enough. Chairman is in on Monday, and I'm sure he'll be exactly the same. So hopefully we'll be able to get a few words from him and share them with supporters. And obviously I know more than ever supporters want to know more about next season and season ticket prices and admission prices. Again, unfortunately, I think we're still roughly at the same point last time we spoke, Matt and James, in relation to Friday there was a government announcement at midday. And I think you heard Boris Johnson obviously refer to spectators being allowed in football stadiums. I think he said October. So we originally had mid-September to late September as a possible return for the National League. So that's not too far away from that. Maybe it's the 3rd of October. We're still yet to receive any actual updated information from the National League or FA. We were expecting an update from the FA before the weekend on recreational football and obviously the return to contact sport for the youth teams, etc. So I'm really hopeful that still comes out this afternoon, because I know there's a lot of teams that were gagging to get playing this weekend. So again, hopefully a bit of light at the end of the tunnel. But again, until we have an official start date and we know exactly what's going on and under what conditions, it's very difficult to plan and sell season tickets and confirm admission ticket prices, etc. So a big thank you for everyone for their patience, and I know it's not easy, but hopefully we can give you an update as soon as we have one on that side of things. Obviously, meanwhile, the National League playoffs are still happening, guys.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? And things kick off with that tonight, live on BT Sport, and it's Boreham Wood versus FC Halifax. Obviously, they're going to be on TV, as mentioned. But for the Conference North and South playoffs, Jeff, there's a slightly different manner in which supporters can watch those.
That was it, yeah. They're being streamed online, aren't they? I think it's part of an agreement between BT Sport, the National League, and Sports Radar. For those who don't know, we obviously film all of our home games anyway, and that footage is actually sent live to BT Sport anyway for them to do post-production in their studios. That's why their version of sort of Match of the Day, the highlight show, goes out so quickly on a Saturday after the game. So we've certainly been pushing it for a few years. We hope there'd be some kind of public streaming option available to supporters, especially for our away games, fans that can't make it. So hopefully it's a big step in the right direction. I know it's pay-per-view, isn't it? I've not seen how much they're charging, but
Do you think they've taken this as an advantage to maybe trial run it for a season, or do you just think the fact that it's playoffs, that there's so much catchment out there for people watching sport, they've just gone, oh, we'll do it for this period? Or do you actually think this could potentially be something
the technology is there, and like I say, the fact that every single home game in our league is being sent live to BT anyway by the single camera operator, you know, that every club has. And I think the commentary for it's such a shame for us, but the commentary for those games is being done by the sort of media people at the club and stuff.
Well, that's the thing.
I would have absolutely loved to have been on commentary duty for a playoff game being streamed live over the internet.
Hopefully, if this is a thing going forward,
it'll be allowed. But
like you mentioned, Jeff, hopefully there's a way that we can put our own commentary.
I don't want to ruin it. But on that side of it, you force it in your own head and you think, imagine the Ravens bar being open and us streaming an away game. Mm. So we're away at, Notts County, for example, should they lose in the playoffs. It's streamed back to the Ravens bar, and Bromley fans that can't make the game are able to come down here, watch a Craig game, but also keep up to date with the Bromley game. I think it'd be fantastic. Would that affect away crowds? Would someone really decide not to go to an away game because it's being streamed over the internet? I very highly doubt it, especially in our league. No. I think if anything, it'll widen the audience of those games, and I think it'd be a really useful addition to media services that are available now for spectators, and I can't see why, if it's a successful trial and it works well, that league wouldn't want to replicate it for the rest of next season. I think it can only be a good thing, really.
Great.
James, we touched on it in previous podcasts, just how good it is to have football back in general, albeit all on TV without the crowd.
Yeah.
It's going to feel slightly that we're at a further stage now, isn't it, in terms of the fact we'll be watching National League football, albeit without crowds, but it's National League.
And to a certain extent, we might be more invested in it, the fact that we know what these teams are like. We've been to these grounds this season. So, yeah, I'm for one really looking forward to watching them. Bournemouth tonight.
Have Barnet got a team together?
I believe so, yeah. They've had a few departures, actually. Dan Sweeney,
the whole making everyone redundant straight away and all of that sort of stuff at the start of this period was quite strange. And
put a few noses out of joint, I think.
And they're the team that fell back in because of the PPG.
Yeah, so again, they're sort of potentially the one that could gain the most from this situation.
Absolutely,
should they
go
on and beat Yeovil tomorrow and then go on to beat whoever it is in the semis and the
final. Who have they got?
It's Yeovil,
and the Eliminator.
They're going to Harrogate. Whoever wins that goes to Harrogate.
Yeah.
And then who's the other one?
Notts County
will host either the winner of tonight.
Yeah, so Halifax and Bournemouth. Yeah.
Oh, blimey. I mean, it'd be wrong not to predictions.
Who's
making the final and who's winning?
I'm going to say a Notts County Harrogate final, and I think Notts County will go up.
Yeah, it'd be wrong to look beyond Notts County, just the fact they have such a strong,
a vast squad, isn't it? Yeah.
We've mentioned it many times, but
I think they're going to blow it. I think it's not going to be Harrogate. I feel like it's not going to be Harrogate or Notts County.
Yeovil.
Don't want it to be Yeovil. If it was down at Yeovil's place, the semi-final,
potentially,
because it's an absolute.
The crowd's not there though.
They'll find a way. There are ball boys in the ground or something.
Yeah.
So, who does that leave? That leaves Halifax, Bournemouth.
Barnet,
surely. No, but you know what? I guarantee you.
Barnet.
You know what? I'll have a bet. I won't bet because I'm not allowed to. I reckon it'll be Barnet. I just have this strange feeling of how you could
those stories are written, you know, so many times.
Well, they've been up and down. I mean,
the team that sneaks into the last playoff spot usually goes on to get promoted.
Haven't Barnet won promotion so often from this league?
Yes.
They actually request. I'm sure I was at a meeting where they actually requested a replica of the trophy. Could they keep it? Cause, you know, they didn't do the pyramid trophy anymore.
Right,
when Vanarama took over, it's now a big trophy. It used to be the pyramid, which I loved.
Yeah.
They actually requested, could they keep that trophy? Because they won it the most amount of times. But anyway.
Well, let's face it, if anything like that is going to happen, and they are the outsiders in a way, it's going to be this season, isn't it? With just the bizarre things that have happened and the bizarre fashion that it's ended. It is going to be the time for something like that to happen, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
On another note, I just want to chuck in that I you know, if we do return in October, fantastic. We fear that it may be under reduced crowd capacities, and 30% has been mentioned and things like that. Another change I'd like to see, I don't know why I'm bringing it up here, but I feel like it's good for public general knowledge, is the drinking outside rule.
Yes.
For a lot of fans, I remember Ryman days, Conference South days, buy yourself a pint, stand on the terrace in the sunshine, enjoy the game, you know, fantastic. Conference weren't allowed to do that. Conference National, step one, we're deemed elite, etc. However, the recent changes and the fact that North and South have been deemed elite and they've been allowed to come back into this, you'd like to think, or I hope, that we'd be able to have a conversation with the authorities, and in a sense that if you can have drink outside at North and South level at a game, yeah, you know, which is a big part of people, you know, a certain percentage of supporters,
yeah,
that you know, day out
experience
with, yeah, with, yeah, their fellow friends, etc. on the terrace, it's a massive loss. It must be what, 6-7 years for us that we haven't been able to do it. Both in terms of income, but like you say, atmosphere and your enjoyment of the experience with friends, I think that would be a nice compromise. If we are, look, I understand it's all because of health measures, and of course that's spectator safety and everything's sort of paramount importance, and we'll go along with whatever the government obviously advised. But I think that would be a compromise that would work and still make it commercially viable for a football club to be opening up its doors and for football again, still with the same, potentially the same budgets, the same outlays of last season, yet with a lower crowd. Yeah. We did fantastically well last season to average over 2,000.
Mm.
I think the average, what was the final league table? I think we were at ninth. We were the ninth highest average.
We were amongst the top non-ex Football League clubs, weren't we?
We were the top ten. We were ninth in the average crowd for our league. Yet every single team above us at some point had been in the Football League. So I was incredibly proud of that, and the
what
effort and everything had been gone into that, and the fans' involvement to make that happen. You know, encouraging friends, work colleagues, etc., to get down here. And it's such a shame that might be capped and limited for the start of and return of football. But like I say, I think with the Ravens Bar, with venue, etc., at Marquee, you're limited anyway. So, you know, for alcohol to be allowed outside, because it is in North and South, and if all of a sudden we're deemed at the same level as those clubs, why can't that happen? Mm. So we'll definitely be trying to find out an answer to that and see if that's possible. I'm sure that's not top of everybody's agenda, but it's got to be quite high up on some people.
Yeah.
So I'd like to think that could maybe is a change for next season that helps, you know, aid everything really, the experience and the actual match day itself. But we'll wait and see, I guess.
And just another thing to touch on before we move on to other news. The FA Council, as we've heard, have now ratified the National League's proposed end to the season. So that is going to result in a relegation for Ebbsfleet United, AFC Fylde, and Chorley, should the playoffs go ahead, which they're going to, yeah, obviously, within the next few days. And obviously,
Barrow, such good, because obviously, promoted. God forbid anything does happen, but there is still, they're still being tested, aren't they? There's still,
yes,
you know, what does happen if one player...
We had to look at the news the other day. Apparently, in the latest round of EFL testing, a Championship player tested positive, and then a League One tested positive, and the only recent League One games were, of course, the playoffs. So again, you just sort of, it's still out there, and you know, anything can still happen at this stage. So yeah, as you rightly say, Jeff, whilst it is going ahead for now, potentially.
But they've accepted. Who are the losers of this? Have they been offered the legal challenge?
I think so. Ebbsfleet won't be making it. They've released a statement.
Fylde have said the same. Yeah, but they're not going to challenge it. So, yeah.
And what's the deal with York? Obviously, if York lose a playoff, are they still going to try and find a way to get promoted? Or
well, they were obviously spearheading the Promote 2 campaign, weren't they?
Yeah.
And Havant and Waterlooville as well.
And they're in there now, so.
Yes, they are. Well, now they've got a job to do. The pressure's going to be on them to get a result.
Well, I saw their 24-man squad, to be fair. So, I mean, they're in a pretty good place.
Yeah.
I mean, the names on that 24-man squad are unbelievable.
I've seen as well that Yeovil players are actually living in a COVID-safe bubble. at the minute.
Really?
Not quite sure
that's
how that works.
That's one way to describe. Hang on.
Yeah, that's what I've seen this morning on the update, so it'll be interesting to see actually how that's worked. Okay, Jeff, thank you very much for that. And of course, a thank you to everyone who's come back to us in their responses to what they want to do with their season tickets, and obviously for your support last season. It's very, very much appreciated, especially in difficult circumstances that we're in now. We look forward to welcoming everybody back. I think it's easier for us all to say. James, it's actually been the final week of academy training here at the club, and it's safe to say it's been a success, and I guess in a way we're kind of pioneers, aren't we?
It's been fantastic to have the academy and luckily be a part of welcoming them back, being a staff member on site, just overseeing some bits on a day-to-day basis. And it's actually, for me, actually quite a shame to see them all go so quickly. I think it's been between sort of six weeks or so they've been
back. It's flown by, hasn't it?
And it really has. We're now up to their six-week summer holiday now. So, today was the final session. This was the Friday. This was only the second session back that Coopers and A-level scholars were back for us. Last week we mentioned on the podcast it was their first time back, as we were allowed to sort of increase the capacity as coaches became available and staff and other guidelines were able to be met in that case. But it's been a huge success. As you say, Matt, we are to an extent pioneers. The fact that we were able to do this and run this and have so many students back having their sessions on the stadium pitch, and hopefully, I know we've mentioned it before, it puts us in a good stead for when we can welcome back not only our first team but other teams as well, and open the club up to have the pitch highs again on the weeknights and our youth teams, and again eventually welcome our academy back when they restart in September. So it has been a huge success. It's been a great to be a part of and actually capture. I've done my best to take photos and record videos of everything. So yeah, it's been really great to see it, and it's a shame for them to go now, but I'm sure they'll enjoy their summer holidays what they can enjoy of their summer holidays now.
James, great job with the coverage as always for the past few weeks. It's been great, I think, to keep everyone going and just let people know that there is some sort of life here at
That's
the moment.
It.
There is some sort of things going on footballing wise, and it's been really, really interesting to see how it's all been implemented and how well everybody's responded to it. And I spoke to Neil Salmon, one of the coaches who's featured on the podcast before, and he's a big listener, I know, so hello, Neil. He is actually really sad that it's the last week, whereas most people would be looking forward to that summer break. Neil and the coaches, and I guess the players, the academy players as well, are just actually a bit gutted because they've only just come back and now it's time to have that six-week break again.
Exactly, yeah. So before they were able to come back, we went into lockdown and they were doing their best to stay fit, but they weren't able to have that, you know, coach contact and also being able to sort of play football properly and with other people. So they're going to go off for their summer holidays, and sadly they're probably going to lose the sort of first touch, lose the sort of awareness on a pitch, which they had been building up these past few weeks. I'm sure their fitness will stay there, but you know, being out there on a pitch, knocking the footballs around, you can't replicate that anywhere else. You know, you can't replicate that on the streets, on the pavements, where they'll be doing their runs and things like that. So in that case, it's a shame, but just to have football back in some form at the stadium has been a real privilege to watch and be a part of the past few weeks.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic, James, to see. And some more fantastic news that we've had during the week, and actually a lot of you will have seen already, is Mia Lockett, who was a member of the, and I keep saying this word, the Pioneering Girls Academy.
Yeah.
At the first year of it, actually, she's just completed her course. She's done her 2 years now. She's a very, very gifted footballer and has been for a very long time. There's been some news on her, hasn't there? And in terms of what she's going to be doing for the club going forwards, and also in her own footballing journey.
Yeah, amazing news we were able to share with everyone this week. Mia, upon completing her BTEC course with Bromley's Academy, she will now move on to and has secured a place at Tottenham Hotspur Women's setup. At the moment, it's part of their WSL Academy, so it's a step just below the actual first team, but she will be part of a first team women's football environment, which is amazing. And I know it's the first major success story of that Girls Academy 2-year group. I'm sure there'll be plenty more to come and in the following years as well. But yeah, Mia's going to move on to that. So it's amazing news, and everyone, I know Mark Hammond, the academy director, and all the coaches that have worked with Mia through the 2 years she's been here are absolutely delighted with that news. I know she had been part of the Crystal Palace women's setup for quite some time now. So to move on to Tottenham, who are in the Super League and be within that environment is amazing. And when luckily we aren't losing Mia completely, though, she's going to continue with her role within the community scheme, Matt, which I know you work alongside her in that, and she's, you know, she really enjoys that from what I've seen.
She's been fantastic, Mia. It's really important, I think, to particularly as this year for us has been a focus on women in football and girls in football. I think it's really important that when these young girls walk into here to play their football, they see that female role model. And Mia is someone who's really, really done that, as you said, in terms of how long she's been playing football for. I know the Lockett family quite well personally, and they're a footballing family. Ben, her older brother, actually played for Bromley a few years ago, made a couple of appearances in the first team. And it's nice to see that it's filtered down to Mia, and she's been able to do that as a female in football and really, really make use of the talent that she's got, and not only do that on the footballing pitch, but also the coaching side of it as well. And she's certainly... If we do have our summer camps, which we're hoping for, dependent on that FA guidance that we're likely to get next week, I believe, she's going to be coaching in that as well. And she is a really, really competent, a really good coach.
Yeah, not only that, though, she has been also given a full-time role within the academy. So upon graduating, she's going to stay within the academy setup, and she's going to be a coach for the girls' academy. So again... to have someone who was part of that first cohort of Girls Academy students to then graduate, have a complete success story moving on to Tottenham, she's now going to be able to share that experience and work alongside the next group that will be coming into the Girls Academy. So again, it's just an absolute success story that was amazing to share with everyone this week. And I know she's really looking forward to it, Matt.
Yes, she is, very much so. And we had the photo shoot, didn't we, with her, and she was just brimming with excitement, really and very proud of what she'd achieved, and rightly so. And congratulations from all of us.
Absolutely,
we look forward to working with her more and seeing how she develops. And now she's not here with us at the moment, but we've got the next best thing. I'm not actually sure where she is, on her way somewhere, by the sounds of it, on this interview. Here's what Mia had to say on the recent news.
Yeah, obviously, it's a proud moment for me to sign for such a big club at such a young age. And for every youngster who loves football, I think it's unreal to play full-time football. It's the dream come true. Since being at Crystal Palace for 8 seasons, I was actually pushed to play senior football, and I made my debut in senior football at 16 years old. I think this helped me not only on the pitch but off the pitch, as I'm so used to being around people much older than me, much wiser than me in the football environment. It's actually helped me as an all-round individual to just cope with life, to mature, and obviously mature as a player in the way I play. So for all the hard work to eventually pay off and to play full-time football, it is something special. And obviously my whole family are chuffed, but the hard work, I just got to keep my head down and keep my mind to it. But a massive thank you to Tom Bowman and Mark Hammond and all the Bromley FC staff who have helped me academically, on the pitch, off the pitch. In the short 2 years I was at Bromley, it's been not only positives, and I couldn't thank them enough for what they've done for me. And obviously the dream to play full-time football is good enough. I was also offered a academy job role, and when I came to the girls academy, it was newly formed, we were the first year, and to be able to progress the girls academy into something special and something bigger than it already is unreal for me personally, as I'm obviously passionate about football. I've worked for Bromley on Saturdays in the community scheme, and to be trusted by Hammo and Tom to think I can take the girls academy into a new chapter, it's just an unreal feeling. And my goal is to obviously help the girls who are now at Bromley to fulfil their dream of playing full-time football, and to grow the academy. So a massive thank you to everyone at Bromley, and it's a special feeling.
You can just tell, Matt, can't you, just listening to that interview there from Mia, just how excited she is and how much she's looking forward to her new chapter in her life.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see James, and like you say, she's someone who's really into her football on many levels, and we wish her the best of luck, and absolutely, I'm sure we'll catch up with her at some point again soon. Definitely. To see how she's getting on. And maybe she can make a return to the podcast at some time as well. Now, that's not the only interview we've managed to get on that side of things today. Somebody I've been tracking down trying to get an interview with for a while now. He's been super busy, to be fair to him, and he's been really important part, along with Sue and Mark and all the other academy staff who've been amazing. Head of Education Tom Beaumont has been coordinating more of the lesson side of things, and he's been working on a few projects as well. I managed to catch up with him on a general level about how the past few weeks have been for the academy and what the return process has been, as well as the news on Mia. Tom Beaumont, welcome back to the podcast. It's the last day today for the academy of this term, and obviously I guess we've been pioneers of some sort in that we've been operating COVID safe for the past few weeks now.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting end to the year, but it's been great to see the guys after a bit of time away and only being able to see them on a screen to finally get them into the club safely and experience some training and get back to the sport that they all love, football.
And it's been clear to see, isn't it? Coaches and players have just been delighted to be back in, obviously not normal fashion, but it's better than nothing, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. After such an extended period on your own or with your family, just to see other people and to see the young guys who have been, you know, working hard. So evidently, some of them, you know, to not see them for 6 to 8 weeks and the kind of physical development that a lot of them have gone through and some questionable haircuts as well to add. But it's been just great to see them and a chance for them to express themselves physically at this fantastic club.
And we've also seen Neil Smith watching a few of the sessions as well and hopefully looking out for some upcoming talent.
Yeah, I guess it's been a benefit to those guys. All of the guys that have been in have been out, the guys coming to the conclusion of their first year. So they'll be the senior guys within the academy next year. And being the only guys based at the club, it's given them the kind of spotlight for that from the first team staff that have been in. And yeah, you're right, Neil's got to see a number of boys that were maybe on his radar, but he's got to see a lot more of them because you know they've been the only guys that are with their boots on. So a fantastic opportunity for those boys.
Now, we've discussed it previously on the podcast. Obviously, there is a system that has been put into place to make it COVID safe here, specifically a one-way system, hand sanitising, temperature checks, things like that. And it seems like all of the players and all of the students have really actually adapted to that quite well.
Yeah, I think they're pretty mature young people. And, you know, if you dangle the carrot of football, you can have some football, you can have some training, but you must comply to these rules and that, you know, that the carrot of football is always there for them. So they've embraced it. There's been no questions. There's been no one in any way, you know, opposing the rules that we put in place. And that's been great to see because it does show when you see so much stuff on the news, but you can see these young people have come here and they've adhered to everything that we wanted to. And it means that everyone's had a good time over the last 6 weeks that we've been open.
And finally, Tom, an academy graduate now of our pioneering girls' academy, I guess you'd say Mia Lockett. A lot of people have seen the news that was released earlier this week. She's signed for Spurs in the WSL academy and also become a full-time coach here at Bromley Football Club.
Yeah, Mia's a fantastic character, and she's had a great 2 years with us. So to see that she's actually, you know, propelling and jumping up the ladies' ladder is great to see. And also as an aspiring young coach, I think she's got loads to offer. She's worked within the club and with the Saturday schools and the holiday coaching with the young guys, and now she's going to come on board with us and give us that female presence on our coaching staff that we've been looking for. So really excited to work with her now, and I'm sure she's going to be fantastic for us.
Tom, thank you.
Pleasure.
Big thank you to Tom for that interview. Always great to hear from him. He speaks really well and has a wealth of knowledge, and it's great to have him in and about the place as well. Just a final thing on the academy, James. We've got the goal of the season, and I believe you can vote for that on Twitter.
Yes, yeah, great shout, Matt. We put this up today, Friday. There are four goals to choose from. Mia features in one of them. Head over to our Twitter. We've got the vote poll up there, so it's very easy. Just select which one you want. Over on Instagram, we've got it up as well, and we'll get it up on Facebook. All you need to do is just leave the name of the goal in the comments, and we'll total those votes up. We'll give it a week, and we'll come back with the results after that.
Okay, now moving on to the question of the week, which was, who is your first Bromley hero in terms of a player? Thank you to everyone who responded to that. We've actually had a lot of responses today on the day of recording. As James, I know you put out a tweet this morning just sort of giving people a bit of a nudge who haven't responded already. We're going to keep this question going for now. I'll talk about that in a minute. James, what were the responses that we've had so far?
Yeah, great responses so far. We'll run through Twitter first and then we'll head on to some from Facebook. So on Twitter, we have Mike Head. His first Bromley hero was Junior Crooks. Paul Richard tweets us saying, the first player I really liked was goalkeeper Malcolm Broadway, but the first player that I can say was a hero has to be Alan Scotting. He always gave 110%, sometimes too much, always talking back to the ref. But yeah, genuine skill. I know he comes up quite a lot in Dave Roberts' books. Godfrey Jacobs, he was fast, skillful, and he could score goals, so it was always exciting when he got the ball. Paul H on Twitter mentions Bradley Goldberg, scored a shed load of goals and was loved by my sons. That's a great one. And Nathan Denny, rounding off the Twitter responses, his first Bromley hero was, quote, super Nick McDonald, such a great finisher. Also a fair shout to Adolf Amoko and Tutu Henriquez as well. We'll head over to Facebook, a couple on there. Tony Fletcher, Paul McMenemy, for two reasons. He was our top goal scorer at the time, and his second reason was that during a break in play in a game, he played head tennis with him over the perimeter fencing. That was when Tony was age 10.
That's a great story.
That is a great story.
Fell in love with Bromley.
Brilliant reason. Fantastic. There. And one last one over on Facebook, Colin Head. Thanks, as always, for getting in touch. I know he's very frequent. Wanted to get in touch with us. He says his favourite hero is Junior Crooks. Played for the club from the mid-70s into the 80s. An unbelievable player. So skillful, quick, and a goal scorer too. Scored the winning goal in the 1977 Kent Senior Cup final and the promotion clinching strike in 1981. He was also a really decent bloke. Thanks again, everyone, for the responses there. It was great.
Always helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think we've got, I don't know if you've mentioned, I think we've got one more, was it, from Dawn Bennett?
Oh, go for it, go on.
Yeah, so Dawn, no surprises for guessing which one Dawn's gone for. Jack Holland, of course. Dawn says, Jack Holland all day long. First chat with him and he organised a dressing room tour and pre-match kickabout for my son at one of our earliest games supporting the club. All off his own back. He has a heart of gold and the best captain we could ask for. Always there for us and comes over to say hello after games, including Wembley. He still came over for a chat. The guy's a Bromley legend and there's absolutely no doubt in that, James, is there?
No, there's a reason why I left that one out, Matt, because we were going to finish on it. That's brilliant, that one. Thanks so much, Dawn.
And we have finished on it, haven't we? So that is fantastic. Thank you all for getting in touch. Like I say, though, we do still have... I don't think we've had as many responses as we'd hoped for. So we're going to carry the question on, aren't we?
Absolutely, yes. So again, this week, we want to hear your first ever Bromley FC hero. You can get in touch with us via our social media channels. So on Twitter, at Bromley FC, please just reply to the tweet put out promoting this podcast. On Facebook, do the same, add it in the comments. And on Twitter, please, please reply to the posts. They're all at Bromley FC. You can also email us. Make sure you're emailing podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk. That's podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk.
And if you're answering on socials, just add a hashtag RavensWeekly for good measure. Right, any other business, James? I think we're just going to briefly, as normal, briefly talk about the 100-plus club and the club shop.
Yeah, two real great ways to support the football club during this time whilst there's no football on. We'll start with the 100-plus club, I should say.
300-plus club,
The numbers keep rising and we want to make the July draw the biggest, which I know it will be, but just want to make sure it keeps growing and growing. You can find out how to sign up via our website. There is an article dedicated to that. It also runs through the June winners, so if you're yet to claim your prize or find out if you were a winner, please head over there. The prize total each month just continues to rise. I know last month it was well over £800, meaning that the total raised to the club so far is £26,581.60. Matt, shout out to the guys
John and Arthur, big thank you to them, and they're continuing to do sort of the admin side of it. People are still sending in their applications to join. We've had a few come in recently, which is fantastic. So do pop over to the website, like James says, have a look and get involved, because first prize now, James, I think was £321 last month.
Yeah, and again, I'm sure
that's going to go up
for next
again.
Month it will go
up. It will. So I think the actual draw is in the next week or so. So if you
that's
are going to join for this month, you want to get your applications in quick. Otherwise, just wait till next month and you'll be part of that draw as well. But the process is very simple, so do get involved with that. Moving on to the club shop, we still have a range of match-worn, match-prepared items. Just want to shout out as well, we continue our popularity abroad, James. We have an order from Austria this week, which is a new one.
Amazing. We continue, to prop up supporters or those just following the club around the world. And again, if you are buying anything from the club shop and supporting us through this time, please send us photos of you either wearing them or modelling them or showing them in your house. We love to see and hear whereabouts you are and supporting Bromley FC from afar.
And we did have one of those, James, at Mr House 18 on Twitter, has got his Adrian Clifton match worn away shirt.
Amazing.
All the way in the USA.
That's fantastic.
And he's, I remember that order coming in actually, and it's now been received in the USA and he's wearing it loud and proud. Great to see, isn't it, the support that we've got abroad now.
Amazing. And if you want to join in with that, please head over to our website. The club online club shop is back. There's plenty to have a look through. It's not just the match-worn shirts. There are various other items. We've got the teddy bears, which we always like to plug.
Winter hats and bobble hats, very popular at the minute, I have to say.
Yeah, plenty of those still in stock. So yeah, please do head over. And if you're in a position to support the club, that is a great way to do so as we continue to put those items up as and when we can.
Brilliant. Thank you, James, for that. And thank you for everything. I think that leads us to the end of this podcast now. Thank you to Jeff for joining us earlier as well. Great insight, as always. And, of course, thank you to all of you for listening. Thank you to GPM Group for their continued sponsorship and support of the podcast. And we'll be back soon. Take care. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town where I come from. In Bromley.